The Hammond Atlas Urban Improvement District Board of Commissioners meeting for Monday, October 27th, 9 a.m. is now in session. I call this meeting to order. We'll stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary call the roll, please?
Commissioner Stith?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
Commissioner Roachford here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
All present.
We have a quorum. I make the motion we approve the agenda with a couple of minor amendments. One, we don't have the amendments to approve for this meeting. And the second one is amend the agenda to approve paying Hilda or reimbursing them the money to remodel the clubhouse. Bathrooms. That second.
I'll second that motion.
Move in second. Did all in favor say aye?
Aye.
If we have no minutes, we have no ceremonial announcements. Rich, do you have any announcements to make?
No. I want to thank the guys coming in with the audit to explain it all to us and go over it. So that's really appreciative.
Rich, can you, I know that you and I have talked, but can you give just a brief overview of the Astera water leak detection?
Yeah, I got the final bill today, this morning. They have got it all satellite imaged, and then this week or first of next, I'm thinking it's going to be this week, they're going to come and sit down, me and Dan, and we're going to go over it all and start seeing leaks, hopefully.
Is there like a website or anything that they're going to give us that you can share?
I can't tell you right now. I don't know exactly how many accesses we'll have with it and who all have access to it and all that fun stuff. But the main thing is get it, figure out how to run it and find it, and that's the first step.
Well, when you have the meeting, I just like to ask that you caveat with them that please give us anything we can share that's, you know, a snapshot of here's the four types of leaks and here's X and where, you know. And
yeah.
Just, I mean, an image goes a long way. It's something we could share would be sooner than later.
And then we could probably, hopefully, we do images like on the website or on the newsletter
right.
And stuff like that.
With updates. Okay, thank you.
I don't have any right now.
Where are you going, Snuffles?
Al, did you want to come?
No, sir.
It doesn't appear anybody wants to make general comments.
Is what I just said, everything.
I think just in the interest of time and the people we have here, we should move right along to the audit so these people can explain it and they can go on about their day.
It's fine by me.
Anybody have an objection to that? Let's start with the audit. Everybody got a copy, right?
Yep. Should have.
Hi there. Is this on?
No.
No.
Push the button.
There we go.
Hey, my name's Eric Hoyt. I'm one of the auditors here. John Evans is the partner on Java. Senior manager. I've been into Holly Island off and on for about 12 years now. So I kind of see the changes that have happened. But long story short, and I'm going to keep this relatively brief, but we performed an audit a couple months ago. We had no internal control findings. In the audit report itself, we gave an unqualified opinion on the financials, meaning that the numbers that you see there are accurate and they're in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. We work with Jennifer and Carrie and Mr. Biggins over here. They're very cooperative. We did bump up the allowance for the assessments quite a bit this year. That's kind of the only That's one of the areas we're really dug into, but other than that, the audit went very well, very smoothly. Cash flows from operations are up.
Can you explain that last statement you bumped up the?
So we've had some issues with collecting the assessments on some of the foreclosed properties. So we increased the allowance for uncollectible assessments. So it went from $900,000 last year to $1.9 million this year. So we bumped up $1 million. So this, it shouldn't really be much of a surprise that we've had issues. John could probably attest more to it, kind of the history of that. But John, what am I leaving out on the assessments?
No, I mean, yeah, that covers it.
Okay.
Just the allowance is based on the history of the accounts and how old they are. And we proposed the adjustment, management approved it.
If you look on page 18 of the audit report, it explains more in depth as to the numbers behind it. That right there. The assessments are receivable note. Particularly the last two sentences.
Okay, it just seems like an awful lot.
Quite a bit. And we went over and we based that number a lot of times based on what collections were in January, February, March of 25. So we looked at that to make sure we were conservative and that we're not overstating revenues.
Okay. There's receivables on the books that go back 3 years or so.
Yeah.
And so it's not just from
24.
It's based on some older years and where the receivables are still on the books.
You're saying it goes back to say 2021 or 2020?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, there's some old receivables that we're just catching up and paying off, essentially.
Very well.
Are there any other questions on the audit report?
I guess the only thing that I have, and you kind of, I think, touched on in your introductory, you didn't see any red flags that just jumped out or any areas where you're like, I wish this financials would go a different direction?
No, sir. We looked at the internal controls of processes and procedures here. There's no red flags there or any issues, segregation of duties. I mean, the assessments is an issue. You know,
That's not an internal.
Right. That's a bigger problem. So, but other than that, everything else seemed to be working accordingly.
Any other questions for the auditors?
I think somebody from the audience will do it.
I'm sorry. Ken?
Yeah.
You want to get a microphone and everybody can hear you at home?
Yeah. Ken Mills, 20 Rocky Job Circle. Right now, they're billing year after year on the uncollected assessments, and that's what's inflating this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to bill that up until the point that they foreclose on? I mean, it's kind of senseless. They're spending all the money and time and accruing all this stuff. There ain't no way in hell they're going to collect it yet. They haven't.
Right.
I mean, it's been doing it for three years.
Yeah, that's probably more legal.
Is there not some...
That's probably more legal question, but... management decision as to whether to...
Well, couldn't they arbitrarily say...
That's a management decision.
That's a question of accounting.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because you got that really inflated income and this yet.
Well, that's why we offset it with the allowance. That's why the allowance goes up to 4.9 million. So the net effect on your net income should.
But that doesn't become an expense, so.
It is. Mm-hmm. As we look. There's a bad debt expense on there.
And the only reason you're using the cash basis all through the year and then you go into regular commercial is on the 12th month. So which figure is significant your profit and loss, your cash profit and loss, or the accrual?
They're both. They both matter. I mean, cash flows from operations is positive. That's one of the first things we look at. Yeah. So that's important. I mean, there's an issue with operations, with the assessments, there's no doubt. But with cash flows being positive, that's something to hang on to, at least.
Might want to pull up the same cash flow.
Yeah, can you scroll up, please? We ran on 15, page 15. Keep going right there. So that net cash from operating activities, that's one of the first things we look at. This is actually cash that's generated for Holiday Island. Just because it's positive doesn't mean that everything's going well, but if that number's never negative, then we really start to get concerned. So we're still positive from a cash flow from operations standpoint. So that's just what we're referring to.
Any other questions for the auditors? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you, guys. I present the three closest ones for the size and everything there.
We put them up on the board, on the screen.
I see Stewart, one company, Mega, is Mega, and then Staples Mega. Mega has two costs, or is that a different company?
Mega has just the one. You got Stewart Signs, you got Mega.
Well, there's two different amounts on the two different pages of Mega. One of them says 29,688, and the other one says 29,7. Are they two different signs?
No, the other Mega, the second one is the one for from Doug. So the first one is from Mega from William, and the second one is the one from Doug.
Okay, so it is a separate company,
they
right?
They are two separate companies.
The lowest bids we have.
Yep.
So
you got Mega, and then you got this one here. Why can't I remember Doug's company?
It's Advantage.
Is Doug the one that brought the sign here?
Yes, Doug's the one that brought the sign here and did the presentation.
Okay, so that company is it.
And by removing the top, we got it down to $29,007.
Vantage, yes, thank you. Vantage LED.
And just for clarification on that same bid, the $29,000 we're talking about, it's saying one each. So I would assume that should be a two each.
Right? It's for each side. It's for both sides.
Because if you look at the other bid, they actually do quantity twos because.
Yeah.
So is that? Are you saying that is a single cabinet, double sided?
It's a single. It's a. Theirs are actually double sided. Yes, and the other one is one sided. One.
It says it up at the top. Double face
versus
back. And the other biggest difference is the Vantage has a 7-year warranty, where Mega only has a 5-year warranty.
So Vantage is this
company. Vantage is the $29,000.
And then, let's see. Stewart Signs looks like it's at $39,000.
Yes.
The other two are the $29,000, and they don't do the static sign, is what I heard. Do they do the install?
Yep.
That's a complete turnkey.
Yep. Them two, the Mega and Advantage, are complete turnkey, where the Stewart was not. Okay. And then we eliminated the top stationary sign to bring the cost down.
So we eliminated, just from my own knowledge, we are eliminating, just for this discussion, to keep out the digital signs in a digital sign bid package versus a combined bid package.
Yes.
So we are still budgeting for building signage, correct?
We're budgeting for just the LED, we're doing this just for the LED sign, not the stationary sign above it.
So where's then, that gonna, where's that money gonna be paid out for this stationary sign?
Well, the stationary sign, we can worry about that later on. Because the wood one's still up and good, and
it does say restaurant on it, though.
I'd like to take and do a different sign on the top where it just says Holiday Island. But we also kind of wanted to, some of us talked about doing another wood sign instead of a stationary, or the plastic one.
I don't like the plastic, I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we're just gonna, once we get through this year and get the LED sign up, then we can investigate doing the wood and changing.
And the reason I bring this up is because it's been very mentioned in previous meetings that the digital sign is not just for the restaurant.
It's a community sign.
It's a community sign. So if we're having that cycling through, nobody's gonna, unless it stops on the restaurant signage, you're never gonna know that that's the restaurant without the stationary sign.
Gotcha.
So
I can put banners up over the wood one.
Banners are against city ordinance. And that's another issue that I don't want to really bring up much longer, but I don't know how much longer we'll be able to keep signage out at Hollywood 23. Because the city's probably going to start coming down on us pretty soon. So, anyway, thank you for clarifying those.
The city's going to what?
How long can, per city ordinance, can temporary banners be up? And I'm looking over at the city, but I can look at you too.
Well, I don't know
either.
I read the sign where it is. I think it's like 90 days.
Lynn's not here, so yeah.
There's a time for temporary signage, and that's considered temporary signage in the city ordinance out of the 200-page document you guys have.
And who might enforce that?
The city. Not us.
Who?
The city.
The city has no one to enforce that.
Code enforcement doesn't exist in the city?
We currently, our code enforcement officer resigned, but he's still working yet.
So I only bring it up if we're trying to be in compliance and we're thinking ahead. I'm trying to make sure we're answering all these questions because this is a big cost that is being discussed here. So that's all I'm saying.
I make the motion we approve the sign bid for $29,007. Yes, it's the one from Doug, the one that's displayed here for $29,007.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Will the secretary call the roll?
Commissioner Stith?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Rout?
Yes.
Commissioner Roachroot? No. Commissioner Reagan?
No.
Three in favor.
3-2, the ayes win. We'll buy the sign for $29,007.
Can we have a public comment on signage? I would like to just say one thing.
We'll have public comments.
Question 62 Holiday Island Drive. Just a quick note on where the restaurant sign should be. Can we just not put a static sign on the building to say this is the restaurant instead of spending $10,000 to put a sign over the sign? Just a suggestion.
Very well. Consideration and action to approve the September financials. Everyone had an email to them. Any comments on the financials for September?
I have one. I was just noticing over at we sold the fire truck for $86,000. And it went into the fire department fund. Why did it not go to the general fund? Isn't that where it's supposed to go?
We put it into the fire department fund because that's where the money came out of when they purchased them, and then it went back
into. Did it come out of the general fund for that fire truck?
No, it came out of capital improvements. That's what Danny took it in capital improvements, which
eventually came out of the firefighting fund.
Go back into capital improvements?
No, it goes back into.
Why not?
Because capital improvements is what you give each department. They're allowed so much money for capital improvements, which it does come out of the general, but it's based out of their department for capital improvements.
So every time the equipment is sold on the auction site, that all goes back to the road department or goes to the general fund?
That stuff goes back in the road department. Every time we, if the water department sells a truck, it goes back in the water department. If the road department sells a truck, it goes back in the road department. If the golf course sells a golf cart, it goes back in the golf department.
I'll go with that, but it's kind of a one-sided thing. The money goes there, but if there's a shortfall, it comes out of the general fund.
Yes. Everything comes out of besides the water, I mean, everything comes out of the big lump fund of HICID. Oh, yeah.
David, do you have a comment?
Are we done now? Just adding.
Discussing.
Yeah.
And once again,
financials for September.
I just had to bring it to the financials.
If Eric would have stayed, he would have been able to explain that part of it for the audit purpose of each department, knowing where each line is falling.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the September financials?
Yes, I have one. That's leave it right there. So if you scroll up, it's mainly an admin error to correct for the record. I'm not against voting to approve it, but if you scroll down under the budget column to the right, see that red 188?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That really needs to be black. That's not a negative. We are actually, for revenue versus expenses, we're actually in the black. It's not in parentheses, but it just needs to be black. So, because if you're looking at it, you're thinking, yeah, it's more of an admin.
Yeah.
But scroll down.
That's right, because in mine it's all in black and white, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't see it. I happen to look at it. And that's one other question I have. I don't know if we brought this up, Rich, but what is the Jennifer's workload to be able to get these financials earlier than the night before?
She was trying to get them there to us by Friday, but with everything else, but now she's switching roles in her life, so hopefully she can start getting them to us sooner.
Okay, because it's like I said, it's a mad rush to try and look at these. I personally had time, but I don't know if anybody else did.
Plus, I've really tidal waved.
It'd be nice if we could have like 3 days ahead of the meeting.
Yeah, and plus I've really tidal waved her this week with the budget that we're working on, so she's also kind of behind because of everything I've dumped on her.
And while we're on that topic, when are we looking at doing some of the budget?
I hope to be reviewing it in November, work session, and then regular meeting doing a first vote on it. Knock on wood.
Do we need a work session to another work session, like a real work session before then, before our regular work session?
Well, we can call a special meeting if we need to. I'm hoping we can get it all hashed out in the first work session of November, which we might be here a long day, but.
We did it last year. It didn't take all that long, really.
Okay. Right. Yeah, and I'll bring
in a whole bunch of line by line. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I'll bring each department head in. And
about an hour.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No. All right, yeah. So that's all I have. So.
Any other discussion about the September financials?
I'll make a motion that we approve the September financials.
I'll second that. We moved and seconded that we accept the September financials. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, I went back up to old business, and I'd make a motion that we pay the invoice to reimburse Hilda for $662.14 for the money they spent on materials for the ladies' bathroom at the clubhouse.
I'll second that.
I'll make a motion that we approve paying Hilda for their material costs for their bathroom.
Okay.
I second it. I thought you made the motion.
I did, but that's all right. It's been
The motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor of paying the invoice, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The invoice will be paid.
Do you have the invoice there? Is that the invoice?
This is the total of all the receipts for $662.
That's all I need. Thanks.
Moving on to the regulation 2025-005, amending certain portions of chapter 2 of the reserve fund percentage. And David, you presented this at the work session, and it's changing the reserve fund amount from 35% to 24%. Is that correct?
Correct.
Has everyone had a chance to look that over and understand what it means?
I'll make a motion. Can we make a motion and I'll go ahead and continue the discussion?
Sure.
Yeah. I make a motion for consideration action to regulation 2025-005 on any certain portions, chapter 2, reserve fund percentage.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. We'll discuss it.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Go ahead, Dan.
All right, so as you just said, basically, in order for us to be able to not, or to use the CD that's up for renewal, that's matured, and we have already earmarked that money for certain other capital improvements, etc., that'll put us below our required 35% lower threshold minimum percentage rating. So after talking with Jennifer, our accountant, if we don't renew that CD, that'll put us at 24%. And so that's why this first reading, there's only, and if you bring it up on the display, there's only two changes to it, but I can go ahead for the first reading and read the entire thing since it's only a page, and I'll just call out where for the recording where we're making the change for the recording.
Very well. Go ahead and read it out loud, because we should.
Okay. This is regulation number 2025-005, a regulation amending certain portions of Chapter 2, Administration of the Code of Regulations of Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District, whereas amendment is needed to certain portions of Chapter 2, Administration of the Code of Regulations of the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District, Arkansas, and now therefore be it ordained by the Board of Commissioners of the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District, Arkansas, the following provisions of Chapter 2, Administration of the Code of Regulations of the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District are hereby amended as follows. Section 2-203, Undesignated Reserve Fund. To secure and maintain investment grade credit ratings, generate interest income, meet seasonal shortfalls in cash flow, and reduce susceptibility to emergency or unanticipated expenditures or to revenue shortfalls, the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District will adopt budgets that provide for an undesignated reserve fund of not less than, and this is the first change, we're changing 35 to 24%, continuing on, no more than 45% of operating expenditures. The undesignated reserve fund shall not be used to fund operating expenditures in the adopted budget. In the event that the fund balance is greater than 45% at the end of the fiscal year, the excess must be first be used to fund the quote, equipment reserve fund, end quote, to its minimum established levels, as outlined in section 2-204. Following this allocation, any excess in fund balance may be used with board approval in one or combination of the following ways. A, the purchase of capital assets in excess of $100,000 and a useful life of more than 5 years. B, matching funds for public improvement grants. C, other one-time costs or the establishment of or increase in legitimate reservations or designations of fund balance, such as reservation for planned major public improvements beyond the five-year capital improvement program, and D, start expenditures for new programs undertaken at mid-year, provided that the said program has identical offset, D, starting expenditures for new programs undertaking at mid-year, provided that said program has identifiable offsetting revenue sources identified for future budgeting purposes. If at the end of the year the fund balance falls below, and here's the second correction or change, changing from 35% to 24%. The district manager shall prepare and submit a plan for expenditure reductions and or revenue increases to the Board of Commissioners. The district shall act to restore the undesignated reserve fund to acceptable levels within 1 year. All regulations, resolutions, or orders of the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District or parts of the same in conflict with this regulation are repealed to the extent of such conflict. And this is constituting the first reading October 27th, 2025. I make a motion that we approve this as the first reading of regulation number 2025.
I have a question. We're not going to renew the CD. What project are we holding the money for?
We did renew, two CDs came up, we did renew one. And then this one is going to help on the UV project, paying this off, and then other stuff that we have come up.
The water tower is up.
The water tower contract is coming up because we're gonna add the hydro tank. And then depending on the lawsuit, some of this will be used for hopefully restarting foreclosures depending on the lawsuit outcome.
Gotcha.
And then whatever we have left, we will roll back into another CD so that way we can help bring that percentage back up.
Yeah, that's a key point. I should have clarified that. I didn't mean we're just using the entire thing. We're by admitting this, this is the worst case scenario.
Right.
So we're making this one change for a lower threshold not to exceed that. So if we did use this entire CD up, it will be at 24%. We wouldn't have to pass another regulation, but anything that can go back in, we're still above that 24% threshold.
Right now, we're just using the CD as a security blanket for financials.
Gotcha.
Because we didn't know how the assessments were all going to pan out at the end of the year.
And after it's all done, we can always buy another CD.
That's
yep.
What you're saying.
Yep, whatever's left over, we can roll back into another CD.
You made a motion? We have a second.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the first reading of Regulation 2025-005, amending certain portions of Chapter 2. The Secretary, call the roll, please.
Commissioner Stith?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Yes.
Commissioner Roachford, yes. Commissioner Reagan?
Yes.
It's been approved. Coin toss for the BOC.
All right, I'm going to have each commissioner pull a tag, and then we'll do a coin toss, whatever their tag is. Whoever gets first can have the 3-year, second gets the other 3-year, and then last will get the 2-year.
The 2-year's not first place?
It's not first place.
Depends on how you look at it.
Way to be positive, Randy.
And this is the coin toss?
This is the basis for the coin toss.
First and point. I'm building whatever's left.
It's just two folded together.
Quit cheating.
6 years.
You just it did it again. It's how you folded up.
Okay, tails will cancel. And then whatever you have, the cord will hit the ground.
What is?
I'm heads.
You are heads or tails heads.
Oh.
T is tails, H is heads.
Oh,
okay. So the first one's tails. Okay, everybody understand?
No, but
just,
okay.
Just do it and we'll tell us what we do.
So I have a heads.
All right, that's heads. Me so far. The first one's head. I have
okay.
H.
Tails. Tails.
Is that my loud voice?
Yeah.
You didn't have your mic on though, so
you're first. Restart.
Heads? Tails. Restart. Says tails is going right. Tails? Sounds like a flip. Heads. Who has tail heads?
You.
So we're at the third year?
So three.
Three, two.
Very well. Congratulations.
I could have gone with the last drawing.
If you got that recorded.
Having looked over all the regulations concerning voting and elections and all that, the coin toss is in there for ties or whatever. Election day is the first Tuesday of December of each year. Being this year, we had three nominations and three vacancies, we'll have no election. I interpret that it mentions that within 30 days of the election, commissioners will be sworn and take the oath of office. Well, that 30 days has to have a start date. And there's nothing in the regulation that says exactly what we do when we're in this situation when we're not having an election. I propose to the board that the first Tuesday of December marks that start date. And on that first Tuesday, we can actually have a special meeting the following Wednesday and swear in the new commissioners. Or swear in the commissioners. They're not new, but swear in the commissioners.
Yep.
And does that make sense?
Yep. And I talked to Connie Doss, and Connie is willing to come over and do all the financials and the swear-in on whatever day we decide.
Isn't Trent Anderson the new guy?
Yeah. Well, I just talked to Connie, and Connie said she agreed to come over and take care of it all at once.
Well, that'd be great, because then you don't have to make a special
call. I know he was appointed.
Justice of the Peace.
Trent Anderson.
I think that's a good plan.
I think we ought to plan on that Wednesday after the first Tuesday to do the actual swearing in.
I thought it had to be 30 days.
Well, that's where we're... That's
30 days or less.
30 days or less.
You
okay.
Have to have it all done within within the 30 days. You have to have it within
the
30 days.
I missed the last part.
So that would be December 10th? Or the 3rd?
Actually, the election day would be on the 4th of December.
Thursday?
I'm sorry? It'd
be December 2nd.
I'm looking at November.
Yeah. December 2nd would be the
December
election.
December 2nd is the first Tuesday in December.
I say we shoot for the 10th, December 10th, pending Connie's schedule, which if I call her now, we can get it done. I can hopefully get her on the schedule.
On December 10th?
Yes.
I would suggest that on that same day, we elect a new chairman, secretary, and vice chairman on that same day. Any comments about that?
No, I don't have any.
Do you want to call? Is that our normal time for a special meeting?
Rich?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
9 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Oh, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock on Wednesdays when we do special meetings.
Oh, very well.
And like I said, I'll get in contact with Connie and make sure that all works, and she can bring all the paperwork over here. We can just get it all done at once. All the financials, because everybody has to do their financials again. So we'll get all the financials done, swear in, and then vote on chair and secretary and
okay, that sounds good.
any additional public comments? Dan?
Dan Keyes, Holiday Island, 120 Holiday Island Drive, where there used to be a mailbox. As mayor, I just thought I'd update you on the road bids for road paving for next year. We did receive 5 bids, and we opened the bids, I don't know, a week or so ago. In tomorrow night's city council meeting, we'll award the bid to a particular contractor. So we're all set and ready to go on repaving a whole bunch of the area around Danube next year, which has been in need of it for a long time. Hopefully the water lines will hold up to the construction work.
Thank you.
Ken Brown.
Ken Brown, Cypress Point Lane. I have a question about the reserve, and I know Ken was on the board for about 9.5 years. I was 8, and Ken was on 5 or more. And all during that time, we were told, either by the CPAs and the audit firm and others who were here years before that, that it was not impossible to go below 35%, but it was not recommended. So I didn't hear part of what was said here. It's a long motion and so forth. My question is, since we went from 35, I remember going like 0.5% down, maybe 0.5% over, but I never remember going 11% lower. So my question, I guess, to the board is, and you may have explained it, Doug, in your reading, when will it go back up to 35, and is it 35% as a state law or a city law? I mean, how?
The 35% is put in place by the Board of Commissioners. There is no record. There is no number, a magic number.
Okay. So you could go to 15 if you want.
We could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to the board where they want to set that threshold.
Okay.
And in the past, when they had lots of money, they made it 35%.
Okay.
We're at a point where we are not in that select group that has lots of money.
And actually, to capitalize on that, part of the discussion that we had earlier this year with the whole UV bond, taking out a bond,
right,
part of the reason we weren't having to go down the UV bond rate was this solution to use cash on hand through the CDs,
okay,
to not go into debt.
Okay.
So that is a big proponent of why we're able to do what we're doing without taking out a new 20-plus year bond. So.
In other words, for a non-finance guy like me, if you have $1 million in CDs and you need $1 million for UV, instead of keeping it at 35%, say you have $5 million in CD, you would use that money to pay off UV costs and not go to a bank and get a loan.
That's a good summary.
And
the loan parameters were that we would be stuck with a prepayment penalty if we paid it off any time within 10 years,
okay,
which was not a good practice for us because we don't know where we'll be in 10 years.
Right. Yeah, the other good thing was this is actually saving us over $800,000 in bond for interest.
Good.
So it's okay. Financially, it was a better way to go.
Thank you. You might have said that during your discussion, but I wasn't hearing it at all. Thank you very much.
Sure. You were here about the pickleball courts.
No.
No. My name is...
Push the button. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rodney Balance. I own Hometown Internet based out of Maryville, Arkansas. And I just come to you with some good news today. Shared it with the mayor, but we received a grant from the feds through the state of Arkansas for $88.5 million for fiber optic to the home internet. And naturally, being a Carroll County citizen, I want to bring as much to that Carroll County as I can. And just want to let you know that we will be bringing
fiber to the home in every unserved and underserved residence and business in Holiday Island. Starting next year. So, I've not met a crowd yet that didn't like to hear good news. So we are going to have a meeting on November the 11th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Country Club, Holiday Island Country Club, giving more information about this and explaining things and answering questions and all that good stuff. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't state the obvious. Some of you know that Harlan Burrow is retiring as our state representative, and I am his chosen successor, if you will. And so I don't want to mix things too much, but infrastructure is my game. Infrastructure and the internet, infrastructure and improving roads and water systems. And so there probably will be a mention of these things in that meeting on the 11th. So it's all about finding the money to help the purpose of improving the communities in which we live. And so I hope you'll all come out on November 11th. Let's talk about internet. Let's talk about infrastructure and answer any questions you might have about how I or our company can help you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Commissioner comments? I think we started to set up the agenda for some future things going on here for December, and we have our next work session is on November
17th.
17th.
Correct. And then our regular meeting will be on the 24th. Rich, when did you want to talk about the budget?
I'm hoping to have it on the 17th work session.
That'd be great.
And that way we can do the first vote on it on the 24th regular meeting.
Yeah.
And then finalized on the 24th. Or on the, in December. Sorry, December 22nd.
December 22nd?
December 22nd would be the second reading on the financials.
On the budget.
On the budget.
That'd be, okay, that'd be the regular meeting. The 15th would be the,
yep,
you know, the
work session.
Work session. Okay. This meeting's adjourned.